Have you ever stopped to wonder how real, tangible change actually happens? You know, on the ground, especially for those, well, those massive challenges, like climate action.
Yeah, it's easy to feel a bit overwhelmed by the scale.
Totally. Our minds often jump straight to big government policies or international agreements, right?
That's the usual narrative, yeah.
Yeah.
Top-down stuff.
But what about the power of people, like right in their own neighborhoods? Is there real power there?
Well, that's a fundamental question, isn't it? We do tend to look for those top-down solutions.
Right?
But often, the most impactful shifts, especially
Yeah.
for something complex like sustainability, they actually start from the grassroots, bottom up.
Okay, so that's exactly what we're going to get into today. This deep dive is all about understanding how these local bottom-up initiatives can drive really significant environmental and sustainability efforts. We're going to unpack how organizations like ICA USA, for example, help facilitate collective action. They do it by connecting people, shifting perspectives, and fostering what they actually call a movement of movements.
Yeah, and our mission here really is to understand the strategies and the kind of foundational ideas behind these bottom-up approaches. We'll look at specific examples, definitely, and uncover some, well, maybe surprising insights into what really motivates people, you know, towards more planet-friendly actions.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Where do we start? Maybe with some concrete examples of this local action. These accelerate programs sound interesting.
Good place to start. Yeah. Let's talk about the Accelerate Neighborhood Climate Action Program first. That's in Denver.
Denver.
It's a community forum program. And the whole idea is bringing residents together to create shared climate action, but specifically place-based.
Place-based, so really tailored to the location.
Exactly. We're talking block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood,
Yeah.
super local.
Wow. And how does that work? Is it just driven by volunteers or?
Well, what's really striking about the Denver program is how collaborative it is. It wasn't just one group. Right from the start, back in 2015, it's had support from three key players:
Okay.
Capitol Hill United Neighborhoods, or CHUN. Then there's Metro State University of Denver, specifically their Department of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences, and IKE USA, of course.
So a real partnership, that feels important. It's not just, like you said, a top-down thing being pushed on people.
Precisely. And the process itself reflects that. Each forum, it encourages individual actions, you know, things people could do themselves to be more planet friendly.
Like recycling more, using less energy, that sort of thing.
Yeah, those kinds of individual commitments. But crucially, it also helps residents create their own group action plans,
Okay.
self-selected.
Ah, so the community decides what they want to tackle together.
Exactly. Tailored to their neighborhood's specific environmental needs. Maybe one area focuses on composting, another on local green spaces, maybe water conservation.
It's structured, not just a casual chat.
Oh, yeah, definitely structured. These forums are led by a professional facilitator and organized by a local neighborhood planning committee. So it's organized, but it really grows organically from the community itself.
That makes sense. It gives it direction, but keeps the ownership local.
Right. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, you can see how these very localized efforts can tackle specific needs, but they still add up. They align with broader climate goals.
It's about empowering communities to like own their solutions rather than just being told what to do.
That's the core idea: empowerment and ownership.
Okay, so Denver shows us how powerful change can be at that really local neighborhood level. But what about scaling that up? Can you take that kind of grassroots energy citywide?
That's the next logical question, isn't it? And yeah, IEA USA tackled exactly that challenge in Chicago with a program called Accelerate 77.
Accelerate 77. Why 77?
Because Chicago has 77 distinct community areas, so the name reflects the ambition: accelerate sustainability initiatives across the entire city.
Gotcha. All 77 communities. That sounds like a huge undertaking. When did this happen?
They launched it back in the fall of 2011, and yeah, massive scope.
So, how did they even begin to approach that? What was the strategy?
It was actually remarkably methodical. They use a three-phase approach: identify, connect, and collaborate.
Okay, identify, connect, collaborate. Let's bring that down. What did identify involve?
Well, identify wasn't about inventing things. It was about finding out what was already happening, discovering the existing sustainability initiatives in each of those 77 communities.
So mapping the existing landscape first. Smart.
Exactly. Building on what's already there. Then the connect phase. That was all about linking these initiatives together
Why? What was the goal of connecting them?
to spark new ideas, share best practices, maybe find ways to work together, and importantly, just build that collective motivation. seeing what others are doing can be really inspiring, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Less feeling like you're working in isolation.
Right. And then finally, collaborate. This was about moving beyond just talking and connecting. It was about engaging residents in systematic learning, planning, and actual collective action, yeah. Taking those connections and turning them into tangible projects.
So it's a clear progression. Mm-hmm. Find what exists, link it up, then work together.
A very intentional progression, yes.
And did it work? What was the impact in Chicago?
Oh, the impact was significant. Through that identify phase, they found more than 900 initiatives across the city.
900, wow.
Yeah, a huge number. And then, through the connect and collaborate phases, these initiatives were linked up to each other, but also to resource providers, people who could help them, and even to policymakers.
Connecting the grassroots to the resources and the decision makers, that sounds crucial.
Absolutely. They even held a big citywide share fair to facilitate those connections. Mm. And the whole thing, this massive effort, it was supported by a 2-year grant from Boeing.
Yep.
So it really serves as a great example of, well, bottom-up acceleration of environmental sustainability, taking what's there and giving it a boost citywide.
It really shows that scaling up doesn't have to mean losing that grassroots feel if it's done thoughtfully.
That's a good way to put it.
So we've seen these powerful examples in Denver and Chicago, but what makes this kind of bottom-up approach truly work? It feels like there's something deeper going on than just, you know, organizing meetings.
You're right. It's not accidental. These programs, they aren't just built on good intentions alone. They're actually rooted in a pretty fundamental understanding of human behavior.
Okay, now this sounds really interesting. Tell me more.
Well, the core idea, the principle they work from, is that images are what drive human behavior.
Images, like pictures.
Not just literal pictures, no. Think of images as our mental models. The ingrained beliefs, the perceptions we hold about the world, about ourselves, about what's possible.
Okay, like the internal picture we have of how things are.
Exactly. And these images, they're formed constantly by messages we get from, well, everywhere, social media, news, advertising, but also crucially from our own personal experiences.
Right. So those images shape how we see the world and then how we act.
Precisely. They ultimately drive our actions, our behaviors.
So applying that to climate action, it's not just about giving people facts and figures about carbon emissions.
Facts are important, but they often aren't enough on their own. Think about it. If your internal image of climate action is one of, say, overwhelming doom and gloom, or maybe that it requires huge personal sacrifice with little effect.
Yeah, you're probably not going to be very motivated to act.
Exactly. Or maybe your dominant images are tied to consumerism, that happiness comes from buying things, that convenience is king. I see as insight is that these deep-seated images drive our daily choices much more than we realize.
Okay, so these programs, how do they work with that? How do they change those images?
Well, the idea is that these powerful images, often, as they put it, protected by consumer-based values.
Protected, meaning hard to change.
Yeah, resistant to change, because they're tied up with other things we value, like comfort or status. Mm-hmm. But they can be changed by new messages.
New messages? Like what?
Messages grounded in current science about the state of the planet, for sure. But delivered in a way that connects, that resonates. The idea is that these science-based messages about, you know, the Earth being in peril, they need to be strong enough, clear enough to kind of blast through those existing protected values.
Blast through, okay. To break down the old image.
Right. And allow a new, more accurate image to form. An image, perhaps, of the real causes of climate change, but also an image of possibility, of collective action making a difference, of what a thriving, sustainable future could look like.
So it's about replacing the image of doom or the image of consumerism with something more hopeful and accurate.
Exactly. And when that internal image shifts, the result, hopefully, is the manifestation of visible and creation-caring new behaviors. The external action follows the internal shift.
Wow. Okay, that adds a whole different layer to understanding why these community forums work. It's psychological, almost.
It is. It taps into how we fundamentally operate as humans.
Which actually leads nicely into another insight I saw mentioned. The phrase, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Ah, yes. That old saying.
We usually think of it in terms of, like, careers or networking, right? Mm-hmm. But here, it seems to point to a deeper truth about social change. That change happens when creative people connect and act with each other in a concerted effort.
Spot on. It's about the power of connection for driving collective action.
And what's IAC's role in that connection piece? How do they facilitate it?
Well, what's interesting is how they position themselves. They see their role as being catalysts.
Catalysts.
Yeah, catalyzing creative action beyond itself is how they phrase it.
Yeah.
They do this by intentionally connecting people who share similar values, similar interests, similar goals. They're like matchmakers for social change.
That's a great way to put it, matchmakers for change. But how do they avoid just connecting people who are already alike? How do they ensure diversity?
That's a really critical point. They emphasize that they aim to transcend narrow perspectives of any particular group.
How?
By focusing on universal concerns that are common to all, things everyone can relate to, regardless of background. But at the same time, they make a point of respecting, honoring, and ensuring diversity. Whether that's interfaith dialogue, cross-cultural understanding, whatever form it takes.
So finding common ground while celebrating differences, that's key for building broad movements, isn't it?
Absolutely essential. You need that broad participation for meaningful, lasting change.
And they call this approach the nuts and bolts of movement building, right?
Mm-hmm. That phrase captures it well. It's about the practical steps.
Yeah.
Identifying those sparks of creativity already happening in communities, often just ordinary people doing extraordinary things and then connecting them.
And that connection does what?
It nurtures things, new ideas get shared, better practices spread, people gain confidence seeing they're not alone, and commitment deepens. It empowers the everyday person to feel part of something bigger.
And ICA USA, or the Institutes as they're also known, they've been doing this for a while. This isn't new for them.
Oh, absolutely not. They have a really rich history. Their influence goes way back. The phrase they use is from West Side to World.
Meaning?
Meaning they started with just a single program on Chicago's West Side back in the early 1960s.
Wow, the 60s.
Yeah. And from that one local project, their influence grew into what they describe as a global movement of those who care. People in basically every time zone connected by this shared desire to turn common passion into concerted efforts.
That's quite a journey from one neighborhood to a global network.
It really is. And that historical context helps explain how they become so effective at fostering this idea of a movement of movements.
Movement of movements. Explain that a bit more.
It's essentially about strategically linking all these different local efforts, not controlling them, but connecting them. So you have this web, this ecosystem of interconnected initiatives that together become much more powerful than any single group could be alone. It's bigger than the sum of its parts.
Like an interconnected ecosystem of change.
Exactly. And this idea connects to other initiatives they're involved with, like the Compassionate Civilization Collaborative or C3. It's all part of that larger vision.
It sounds like they really value building that social fabric, that connection. I saw mentions of using storytelling too.
Yes. Storytelling is a powerful tool for them, and it provides context and shared meaning.
Any examples?
Well, they mentioned things like Karolingo Jewel's 2019 Deep Time Walk, which started in Sri Lanka, and another called the Universe Story Walk at a place called Stover's Sojourn.
Universe Story Walk?
Yeah, apparently it tells the 14 billion year story of the universe. The idea is to give this incredibly vast shared context for collaboration. Kind of puts our daily squabbles in perspective, maybe.
Huh? Yeah, probably does. It's about finding that deep shared narrative, I suppose.
Exactly. And underlying all of this, the forums, the connections, the storytelling, is a core assumption that ICA holds.
Which is?
That information exchange and dialogue among individuals and groups is essential to establishing effective new directions forward.
Dialogue is essential. Makes sense.
They really seem to live by that. You look at their history, the kinds of programs they've run.
Like what?
Well, back in 1984, they held the first International Exposition of Rural Development, IRARD. That was just the first of 8 big international conferences they organized, building on years of research assemblies.
Wow.
Then there were things called Human Development Projects, countless community forums and town meetings like the ones in Denver, even projects with local churches. All different formats, but all centered on dialogue and participation.
So lots of different ways to bring diverse people into the conversation.
Precisely. Because they believe, and I think experience shows this, that these kinds of conversations ensure that any future plans actually reflect the perspectives of everyone involved, all the stakeholders, the individuals.
And when people feel their perspective is included,
they feel ownership. It fosters motivated implementation.
Yeah.
People are much more likely to commit to making something happen if they were part of shaping it.
Right. It's not just being told what the plan is. It is their plan.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's try to wrap this up. To recap our deep dive today, we've really seen how effective climate action and maybe social change more broadly, it's deeply rooted in these grassroots efforts.
Mm-hmm. It's not just about the big picture policies.
No, it's about strategically connecting individuals and initiatives. And it's also about having that that nuanced understanding of human behavior, how to actually shift those internal images we talked about.
Yeah, it's not just about imposing change from the top down. That rarely sticks, does it?
Doesn't seem to. So the takeaway for you listening is pretty clear, I think. Real power doesn't just lie in grand master plans.
No, it's often in that deliberate, sometimes slow process. Identifying the creativity that's already there in communities, connecting mm-hmm. it smartly, and fostering collaboration, genuine collaboration, mm-hmm. at that fundamental human level.
Yeah. Build from the ground up. Connect the dots. So here's a final provocative thought for you to maybe chew on.
Okay.
We spent a lot of time on that idea that images are what drive human behavior.
Yeah.
If that's true, how might understanding that principle empower you?
Mm.
How could you use that knowledge to perhaps influence collective behavior or maybe spark new initiatives, not just for climate action, but really in any area where you see passion that needs to be turned into concerted, effective effort?
That's a powerful question to consider. How do we change the pictures in people's heads, including our own, to build the future we want?
Something to think about.